Don't you appreciate the presence of the Lord tonight? That's what we've already heard, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. I've talked to folks, we've been pastoring now nearly a year and a half, a little church trying to help them there in Tennessee. And I just completely foreign, they're not used to, they just came out of the Church of God, and they're not used to worshiping the way we do. I taught them, they've got it down pretty good now. When the Spirit begins to move, move to the front. Just move. I don't care if you feel anything or not. Just get where it's at. I know you can get it back there, and I've seen it fall back there first. But 99% of the time in the services that I've been in, it started around the altar here somewhere. So no matter where I'm at, I want to be close to where it's at. And when it starts happening, I want to be right there so I can feel it and get into it right when it happens. So when you begin to see the Spirit of the Lord move, and you see somebody up here that's moving, move out. Get up close. When you get close enough, what's moving on them will get off and get on you. That's how the fire gets started. It moves from one to another to another. And usually it's just a small flame that happens. One of those massive wildfires that fall, they don't start at that level. They start with somebody's carelessness, just a small flame somewhere. But it begins to go here, and the wind gets behind it. And before you know it, it's a fire that cannot be contained. That's what I like to see, wouldn't you? Oh, it's an honor to be here, such a privilege to be here among such great people and feel the presence of the Lord already. I want you to turn. We're just going to get quickly into the Word of God. And honestly, I struggle with this because what I'm fixing to preach tonight just really doesn't fit the mold for a youth retreat. And I almost don't even like that word, retreat. I know it's a way to get away, but I just don't want the devil to think we're backing up. We're not here to back up. We're here to take a pause, get recharged, and then go back home and take it to your church and set the world on fire if you can. But I really felt the Lord deal with me that there's some folks here, and the way the service has already gone, what we've already heard just really links up to what I felt the Lord deal with me about. There's some young folks that are here who are in a struggle right now. We are in a strain. We're in a heavy load right now. And it's just, you know where you're at. And you know me well enough to know that if the Lord leads us down that direction, I preach hell hot and wholeness tight. It really doesn't matter. But you know where you're at. I'm here tonight to talk to you to let you know there's somewhere you can go with the trouble that you're in. I want you to turn to Psalms 46. Psalm number 46. Let's stand for the reading of the Word. I don't want you to get too comfortable. Again, I appreciate this invitation. I really do. I count it a great honor. There's so many men that are here right now that do so much better than I will do with this. And I do have some folks in my congregation that really, when I told them I'm coming to preach a youth retreat, they said, have those folks looked at your hair lately and your lack thereof? I said, well, hopefully, maybe, you know, I got one more shot at it. I said, I'm going to go as long as they're asking me to come to youth retreats. All right, let's read it. Psalm chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling of thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made on the earth, in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I just want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes. Strength for the strain. Strength for the strain. One more time, lift your hands and let's ask God to help us. Father, we are so grateful for what we have already felt here tonight. God, we sense the nearness of heaven. We sense the nearness of the Holy Ghost and the longing of heaven to reach us and touch us tonight. Lord, would you help us to fight through the fog, to clear the air of the barrier, and hear what the Spirit says to the church tonight. Lord, meet us around the altar with a great outpouring of your Spirit. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and all the glory, for it's in the name above every name we ask it. Amen. There's a lot of argument between the scholars over who wrote this psalm. Some say David did. Others are firmly ensconced in the belief that it was Hezekiah. And it really doesn't matter to me because it's a great story. No matter who wrote it, it's a message of hope and help for everyone that hears it tonight. For I realize that these are the times that try men's souls. I realize that there's never been a youth group in our movement that are facing what you're facing right now. I know that you stand and say nobody has faced what we're facing, and you're right with that. For there, it seems like sin is more prevalent. It's more accessible. You've got so many ways. Somebody's already talked about the technology of our age, and it's just made it to you don't even have to leave your own bedroom to be bombarded with sin and bombarded by the things of the world. And I understand tonight, because of society that you live in, I felt the Lord deal with me that there are going to be a vast majority here, and the very fact that we have not been able to break through the barrier and really get a hold of what God is wanting to do for us lets me know that we're exactly right on track. But these are perilous times that we live in, and I wish I could tell you that it's going to get better, but I just cannot do it. But I understand what Paul said to evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're living in a time when we don't know which way to turn. There's some of you are here that have longed and put your hand on leaders that have been beside you only to see them fall before you. Homes that have been broken, moms and dads that have disappointed you, and you really don't know which way to go right now. This year I've talked more to young folks who are battling. So I really don't even know what I'm battling. I don't know what I'm facing right now. I cannot tell you what's going on in my mind right now. I want you to understand you're in good company. The Apostle Paul said, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul said, we got so deep into what we were going into that I didn't know whether we were going to make it or not. And I feel like there's some young folks that are sitting here right now. They're just weighing out the options. I'd like to do what's right. I'd like to live for God. I'd like to be. But the pressure that I'm under right now, I don't know where to go. I'm facing things right now I cannot talk to mom and dad about. I've got battles in my life that I'm not comfortable going to the preacher to talk about right now. I don't know where to go or where to turn. It's in times like this, and I thank God for songs like this. They said this was Martin Luther's favorite song. And they said when the times would get hard, and he would look to the men around him and say, let's sing the 46th Psalm. And it would bring a consolation back to their heart. There's some things here I want to talk to you about real quickly tonight. And then we're coming down to an altar to pray. I want you to look back at this psalm with me. I could just read it and have a prayer meeting. Because there's such truth in here. If you could get through the fog that you're wandering through right now and grasp, you say, where do I go? I tell you where you go. Number one, this song tells me about a refuge that is secure. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Where do I go? I go to the Lord. I want you to know, young folks, there is a refuge
means tonight. In the midst of your storm, there is somewhere you can go. There is a place that you can take your burdens. There is a place that you can take your troubles. He is here right now in this service. I felt Him in the singing. I felt Him in the testimonies. I felt Him in the exhortation. He lets us know that He is here. The devil said, you have got nowhere to go. There's no answer for your problems. I want you to know tonight that God is your refuge. You don't need to turn to the chat room. You don't need to turn somewhere else and ask your question. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Oh, we are in such a strain right now. We're under such a load right now. Homes are strained. Moms and dad relationships strained. Church services are strained. But tonight I want to talk to you young folks about a strength for your strain. I know you're under the load right now. But in the midst of the chaos and the confusion that we're in right now, you need to step back and remember that in the midst of the storm, there is a place you can go to get away from it all. The eternal God is our refuge and strength, and underneath is the everlasting arms. You don't have to fall. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to go under. There is a refuge tonight. There is somewhere that you can go. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. This refuge is a personal refuge. For notice the wording of the text. God is our refuge. Ours. Elohim, the God of creation, is our refuge. Oh, it's one thing if I preach about your refuge, and I preach about Brother Webb's refuge, Brother Pasquarello's refuge. But he said, God, if he said God is Israel's refuge, it's not for me. But that our is a personal pronoun. And I by right of grammar can take that out and put my name in. And say God is Brent Gabbard's refuge. It's one thing if I'm talking about a generic refuge. When I step back and realize it's mine, I've got a right. I feel like there's some young folks here tonight who are wandering around in the wilderness knowing where to go. And because of what you've done and where you've been, the devil says you've got nowhere to go with it. I want you to know there is a refuge. And it is a personal refuge. It is your refuge. In your storm, there is a place that you can go. A psalmist said in 91, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Oh, can you say it tonight, young folks? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. I have got somewhere that I can go. Oh, mark Psalms 62:7, for He said, God, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're having a youth retreat, to get a hold of somebody that can't get there for yourself, and lead you to the rock tonight, and lead you to the refuge. It is a powerful refuge. Elohim, the God of creation, is my refuge. How powerful is the God of creation? Look around you at the majesty of God's creation and understand the God of all this is my refuge. It is a permanent refuge. For look at verse 2. Therefore, anytime you see therefore in the Word of God, you can look above it and get the wherefore. What are you talking about? He said, because God is my refuge, therefore, listen, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Oh, I could see some young folks whose world has been turned upside down. I could hear somebody saying, my world is falling apart. The world is spinning around. Nothing makes sense now. The chaos and the confusion. I don't understand. What can I do? But the psalmist said, I will not fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains shake, because God is my refuge.
What he is saying is, with God on our side, how irrational is fear? With God on my side, God is unchanged. Therefore, our refuge is unaltered. Your condition does not change God's position. Do you hear me? I said your condition does not alter God's position. He is still where He's always been. I may have come down, but when I stumble, He's still right where He always was. And He is powerful. He has all power. Evil may ferment. Wrath may boil. Pride may foam. Oh, but the brave heart looks back and said, I will not fear. God is my refuge. Oh, you remember the story of those wise and foolish builders. The Bible says in Luke's account that the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Listen to me. I understand where you're at right now. I understand what you're going through right now. If He can shake you out, He will shake you out. I've watched folks so dear to my heart that have been shaken out this year. Do you understand that there is an adversary out there? That's why that your world seems to be falling apart. Because if He can shake it apart, He'll shake it apart. If you can be shaken out, young man, you're going to get shook out in the day that we're going. Because you've got an adversary in the midst of this storm, and his one goal is to shake you out of where you are. Oh, there is somebody here, an adversary, who is trying to destroy you. The streams beat. Luke said, vehemently against that house. They could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. I want you to know tonight that your future depends on your foundation and what you need to do right now. And that's why we're here, is to help somebody find the rock, help somebody find the refuge, and get yourself back on the rock. All that, those things which cannot be shaken may remain. A storm is coming, but you can stand on the rock. Next, the psalmist strengthens his own case by singing not only of a refuge secure, but also of a river sublime. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad, oh hallelujah, the city of God. He reminds us that within refuge. Yes, I'm glad that we're here. That's why we're here. This is your refuge. Do you understand that? That this church, your church, it's a refuge for you. Don't miss church. There's nothing more important than you being in the house of God. There's nothing more important than you being at youth rally. There's nothing more important than you being inside the ark of safety. But he takes it even a step farther. Where he said, inside this refuge that secures us, there is a river that sustains us. Oh, how great is our God. It's enough if He just gave me a place to run into and just hide for a little while. Just to come in here and not think about my battle for a while. Not think about what I have to face while I'm going through for a while. Just come in and listen to the singing and listen to the preaching. Oh, but it's greater than that. Once you get inside the refuge, there's a river here. There's something here to pick you up. You don't have to leave the refuge this weekend the way you came. You may have got to the refuge weary and down. Cast and downtrodden, and I'm hanging on by a thread. Oh, if I don't get help this weekend, I'm going to lose it all. I'm just going to give up and go back. But thank God you made it to the refuge. Oh, but what you need to do now is make it to the river. It's inside the refuge. There is a river here that make glad. You may have came in downtrodden and downtrodden.
But you can leave sustained. You can leave with a fresh anointing. You can leave with the fresh oil in your soul tonight. Because in the refuge, there is a river.
There's so many believe that this is written about and by Hezekiah. Yeah. Because they really believe, and that's kind of the way I believe. They believe because it was written about that time that Hezekiah knows Sennacherib's coming. He knows that it's sooner or later, I'm going to have to fight this. You can only avoid it so long, and then you've got to stand up. And the onslaught that's hitting everywhere else eventually comes to where you're at. But Hezekiah said, I'm going to get ready for the fight. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're getting ready. The fight's not over, but we're here digging trenches. And Hezekiah said, boys, this is what I want us to do. All right, you ready? It was one of the greatest archaeological or engineering feats, architectural engineering feats of ancient history, how they rerouted the river. Hezekiah's pool is still there. And they put that conduit in and took the river from the outside and put it over in the inside. He said, boys, let's get together here and let's get the river. That way when the enemy gets here, and they covered it all over, and Sennacherib's out there scratching her head, they ought to have been starved to death by now. They ought to have been out of here by now. They didn't understand it. Right in the middle of the city of God, there's a river that just keeps bubbling over. That's how the devil, he's right here right now. He said, I thought I had him. Oh, he's waiting outside the door right now. He's waiting for you to get back to school. He's waiting for you to get back to the job. Because he knew when you came this weekend that you were almost out. Oh, and he's sitting outside waiting. He'll starve out sooner or later. And I believe there's some folks that are here, and I'm here to help you dig. And inside the refuge, there is a river. A stream thereof made glad. A city of God. Oh, in this refuge, there is a marvelous river. Oh, how impassive is its flow? You remember what Ezekiel saw? He saw it coming out from the river of the altar. He saw it out there. They've already sang about it. I stepped in a little deeper. Aren't you tired of that ankle deep experience? Aren't you tired of staying so close to the bank? Or like the little boy rolled out of bed and said, I just stayed too close to where I got in at. It's time to leave that ankle deep experience and get out into some deeper water. It's time to measure up and get closer. Because you don't find out how many let Brother Jerry preach on the steps to the depths. You remember that one? Oh, yes, sir. Take the step tonight to get into some swimming waters. Because there is a river. It's not a creek. It's not a branch. It's going to dry up. It is a marvelous river that's here tonight. It's a humble flow. It's a holy flow. It's a healing flow. But it's here tonight to come by where you're at. Oh, I'd like for some folks to unblock the channel tonight and allow the river to flow through the refuge. I need to hurry. But how many times, look just quickly in Scripture, how many times has the living water been connected with God? The Father set forth as a fountain of living water. For Jeremiah 2 and 13 said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. We're not here for you to get a bucket full tonight. I hope you left your bucket outside. Because if you get a bucket full, sooner or later your bucket's going to get empty. I'm interested tonight to introduce you to a fountain of living water. Jesus said, I am the well of living water. For he said to that woman, whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's another example of living water. Aren't you tired of drinking off of somebody else's water? Drinking from somebody else's dipper? You need to get in contact at the fountain tonight. The Holy Ghost is compared to a river. You got a fountain? Oh yes. Then you got the well. But if that's not enough for you, there's a river. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. I said rivers of living water. Well, how impassive.
massive is its blow? How impotent is its foe? For all his great cunning and strength, Sennacherib could not figure out what was going on inside the refuge. He just said, I don't know, it makes sense. He did not realize that inside the refuge there was a river that just kept on. Oh, the devil in all of his brilliance make a final mistake this weekend. He had you in the corner, but he allowed you one last visit to the refuge. He allowed, really? I wish I was smart enough to come up with this myself, but I wasn't. But I borrowed it from a black preacher. He said the devil's biggest mistake with Paul and Silas was not the fact that he whipped them. It was not the fact that he beat them. It's just the fact he put them both in the same cell. Because he has said, we're two or three. Oh, I wish somebody could tell the devil, you just made a major mistake. You made a major... I'm not big enough to handle this on my own. But you let me get with all these people who are full of the Holy Ghost. You made a major mistake by letting me get right here. And right now, young folks, don't you forget about the battle for just a little while. And let's scoot up to the master's table. Where the psalmist said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That means while they're outside walking around, waiting on it, I'm sitting at the Lord's table. I'm getting better. I'm getting what I need. Oh, in this, there is not just that marvelous river. But he comes back in that fifth verse and talks about that majestic resident. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Did you get it? I want you to understand the wholeness movement is not going down. I am not here to preach the doom and gloom of the church. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not. But the reason we're here is not our great preaching. It's not our great singing. The reason that we're going to survive where others have failed is the fact that God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Look at it. Within that righteous refuge, there's that river, but we're not just sustained by the river. We're sustained by this resident. Someone has taken his place in our midst. We knew he was going to be here. For he said, we're two or three. There am I. What he said to us tonight, he was here before we got here. Where two or three are gathered, I'm already there. We do it, and I do it, we invite the presence of the Lord into service.
All right.
Because we want him to know he is welcome.
Yeah.
But in essence, he's already there.
Yeah.
I should just be saying, Lord, help me to recognize your presence that's already here. God is in the midst of her. Look at it. You see, Jesus, he's always in the midst. Hit the 12-year-old boy, he's sitting at the temple, and the Bible says he's in the midst of the scholars. He's in the teachers. And disciples in the upper room, they're quaking with fear. They got the door locked to try to keep the enemy out. That's where a lot of our churches have went to. We went on the defensive, and we've locked the door trying to keep the devil out. We look at every person that comes in wondering if this is just the devil in disguise coming to attack us, and we're hid. But all of a sudden, he stands in the midst of them. The door being locked for fear of the Jews, in the midst of the congregation, Jesus stands up. Oh, we see him, Revelation chapter 2. He's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And he's later on, he's in the midst of the throne. He's a lamb in the midst of the throne. And I see him in the midst of the 24 elders. Oh yes, in the midst of the cherubim. He's always in the midst. That's how I know this weekend shall be a success. Because he is in the midst. One more thing, we're coming to an altar. The psalmist wraps up this little strengthening psalm by telling us of the parting this river sublime. And he ends on a note by singing of a ruler supreme. God, he says in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. Sometimes it would do you good in your struggle to stop and look back and realize what Daniel said. There is a God in heaven who rules in the affairs of this man. Of men. It's a call to behold. Come. Come. Behold the works of the Lord. Come. That's what I want you to do. That's why we're here. Come look what God's doing. They said, God, would you move? God is moving. We just need some better PR about what God is doing. Right now, back in the hills of Kentucky, God has been working a miracle. Because right now, back in the hills in my daddy's living room, a backslid homeless preacher got reunited with his wife at 7 o'clock tonight after years of being out in the world. God is moving. I've seen folks walk in. I talked to Brother Brian. We're talking about the struggles of a pioneer in a church and bringing a church out and the struggles that's there. And what you go through to see it go up and go down. And people come and people go. But I've watched it. I watched a man and woman come in who worked on her. He was hard as a brick. He said, ain't no way I ain't getting involved in that mess. But we began to talk to her. We went to the hospital to visit her son. Found out there she's a holiness preacher's daughter. And backslid for 25 years. Her husband, they came finally. They agreed to come. She'd been coming some. He agreed to come with her on a Friday night of revival. They got to preaching. The Holy Ghost was there in such strong conviction. We went up close to 10 o'clock. I didn't want to close the service down because I knew they needed to pray, but they weren't budging. They weren't even moving. I finally said, folks, I reverently as I know, I said, we're just going to let you go. You feel like staying? And all of a sudden, I was shaking hands with some visitors there, and all of a sudden our sister Belinda looks over at her husband. She said, are we leaving? He said, I can't leave. Hey, something got a hold of my heart and I can't leave. He said, I'm going to that altar up there. He went to the altar. He wept his way through to salvation. She wept her way through on the other side. Oh, and I watched her, and she didn't have no little rocks. She had one of them big ones on there. She come through, and I never said nothing to her, but all of a sudden she's over on there, and she's shaking her hand, and all of a sudden I seen her do this number, and her hand comes up and it's gone. She says, I mean business, God. I am here to do business. But over here, she don't know why she getting saved over here. He getting saved on this side. And he went all the way through to the Holy Ghost on this side. Sunday morning, she's back at church. She went back through to the Holy Ghost. What's the chances of somebody being out 25 years? I tell you, God is moving right now. It's not us, but it's the Lord that lives in us that's moving right now. Look at his works in prophecy. Not one I has failed to be dotted. Not one T has failed to be crossed. And even in a day when we watch prophecy become history every day, and how can we doubt that God is moving among us? Look back at your past. Moses said it best. Their rock is not as our rock. Our enemies themselves being judges. Our enemy got to stand and testify, say, I've done my best, but I can't stop it. And I hear him say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So, have you had any experiences? Oh, come on now. Look back over your life. Well, I remember when he moved for me then. Oh, he ain't moved. And just because you step back didn't change who he is. That same God that filled you before will do it again. You may have let it leak out because you put it in a leaky vessel, but there's an altar here. And if you'll carry that vessel up here, he'll put it on the wheel, make it a new vessel out of whole water. And he'll become in you a well of living water. So it's a call to us tonight as someone gets us a song and we get ready to pray. It's a call for you tonight. My challenge is, will you believe God? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? There's not a generation who's faced more than you have. But I dare say there's not a generation who has seen more than you have. Or at least heard more than you have. There's never been a generation that's heard better preaching than you have. So now we got to come inside the refuge tonight. As we come down to this altar, it's a call for you to believe. You don't need God to show you. You just need to believe what you've been shown. I feel like tonight there's some young folks here who have been pulled by the world. You say, I really don't know if I believe in holiness or not. I really don't know if I believe in what my church is teaching. I don't know what I believe. You, not what you believe, but it's who do you believe? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's what I'm asking.
Where else are you going to go and get what you've got right now? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. Are you sure in what you believe tonight? Stand with me, young folks. Are you sure? If you're not, while you're in this refuge, you need to come back and step back in the water tonight until He washes you and you leave here saying, I know in whom I have believed. Be still and know that I am God. That's why we're calling this a retreat. We stopped you. You've got to stop right now from all that running and doing and all the holidays and everything you had going on. And just stop here just a minute. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted. He said, I've got a plan and it's going to happen. He's got a plan for you. And the only thing that stands in the way of that being fulfilled tonight is, do you believe Him? Do you believe Him enough to step out and come to this river tonight and say, God, sink me in the river again. Baptize me again, Lord, till you baptize me and free me from the doubt, from the despondency, from where it's at. For listen, he just tells you one more time about God's presence. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. As he says it twice, I want you to get who's with you. You're not alone. With my mama and my daddy throw me down. Oh, he said, when my mother and father forsake me, that's it. Then the Lord will take me. Anybody else going to step out and say, God, I'm tired of living in the haze. I want to get back to you tonight. Oh, somebody else, surely there's more than one that's got enough guts to step out and say, I'm ready for the river tonight, Lord. I want to run to the river. Oh, somebody come on around and pray with this. It's already started praying. Come on. Come on. Come on, move out of here. How am I going to survive? I believe if the devil realized what you're going to get in this service tonight, and before this weekend's over, he'd have stopped you from coming if he could. But you're here right now, and while this water is troubled, you need to come to the river. This altar's open, and I'm waiting on somebody to step out. But I don't want people to think. I ain't worried about what people think. You've not got to that place of desperation then yet. I need help. Have I got any young men in here that's going to step out and come to the altar and say, preacher, I need help right now. I'm struggling with some things in my life right now. I'm struggling right now. There's so many unknown factors in my life. I have got to have help right now. Why don't you come on down to this altar? Instead of waiting for a generic altar call, it'll do you good and do the devil good. I have to let him know that I came here to get help right now. I am here to get help. Thank God for these that are coming. I'm going to break the gates and let everybody come, but it'd do you a lot better if you'd come on to the refuge tonight. Here I am, Lord. I'm in the refuge. I'm looking for water. I'm here tonight looking for a renewed experience. I'm looking for something in my heart tonight. Come on. Come on. Come on, go ahead. Get us a song.
Help, Lord.
How are we going to survive in this hour of struggle? How am I going to survive what I'm facing right now? There is a refuge. There's a river. And there's a ruler that'll help you tonight.